This episode sponsored by Forkful. Most meal delivery services promise healthy food, but look closer and you'll often find cheap industrial seed oils hiding in the ingredients. Forkful does things differently. Forkful delivers chef-prepared meals made with premium ingredients you'd expect at a great restaurant, from center-cut filet mignon to wild-caught lobster mac and cheese. And every meal is 100% seed oil-free. Instead of canola or soybean oil, Forkful chefs cook with extra virgin olive oil, avocado oil, and grass-fed butter, because better fats make better food. Meals arrive fresh, never frozen, with clear nutrition and ingredient transparency, so you always know exactly what you're eating. Restaurant-quality meals, real ingredients, no seed oils. Discover Forkful today at ForkfulMeals.com.
Well, the last 24 hours around Chicago have been interesting as Joe Cowley released a report that Billy Donovan could be on his way out by his own choice, right? And I think that's the part that makes the distinct difference here. So we're going to separate the smoke from what's real in regards to the news around Billy Donovan. We're also going to look at a couple of mock drafts that have gone down that have been pretty favorable for the Chicago Bulls in two different ways. One in staying at number 10 and one in actually moving up to one of the top picks in the draft. We'll talk about all that plus more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Eric Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. And man, the Billy Donovan news. It's been news that's been kind of, I won't say it's like shaking Bulls media or anything like that, but it was a report by Joe Cowley. And I want to spend some time in here separating the report from what's real, from what's speculation, from what's real. And this isn't to attack Joe. I want to be clear here. This isn't to attack Joe Cowley, even though I'm not against attacking Joe Cowley, because sometimes he could be a bit controversial and a bit of a hack. But with that said, I will say this, right? I want to separate the smoke from the facts in regards to the Billy Donovan thing, right? And I think the thing that a lot of people are asking is that, why is this happening now? And you know, Joe Cowley did a good job in that article as far as presenting it as, you know, speculation piece, right? Basically that saying that, hey, this is what I'm hearing. These are my thoughts on this. And I would not be surprised, basically, that Billy Donovan could. I think the thing that you have to first focus on is that the article wasn't built around Billy Donovan leaving the Chicago Bulls. That's not what it was built around. The article was more so built around Arturs Karnasova and the fact that he's somebody that is, that, you know, according to the Joe Cowley article, is finger pointing, right? So, you know, looking for people to blame in a sense. He even mentions in the article that Mark Eversley could also be on his way out because, you know, AK is running out of people to blame. But I think when you look at it, the overarching thing in this is just that apparently there is some unsatisfaction in the front office about what's going on with Chicago, that there are some people that disagree with Arturs Karnasova and Arturs Karnasova. I murdered his first name just then. And what's happening between, you know, draft picks that have underperformed here and not turned out the way that the Bulls had hoped, Dalen Terry, Julian Phillips, you know, Marco Simonovic, you know, getting back to those guys that did that. And that basically is that Joe Cowley presented it as this, that Billy Donovan could step away from the mess that is the Chicago Bulls, take a season to reevaluate what he wants from the profession. That was the exact quote there. And what does that mean? What is taking a step back? Well, A, Billy Donovan lost his father. He lost his mother-in-law. And that is something that can weigh very heavily. On top of that, the losing, the lack of success. You know, CHGO had somebody from North Carolina on, and they talked about how, you know, they're surprised that Billy Donovan hasn't walked away from the mess in Chicago, you know, for a while. Now that UNC's job is open, could Billy Donovan, you know, didn't go to the Kentucky job, could he be a finalist for that? That's something down the road. But I want to be clear here. In this article from Joe Cowley, there's not a source. It's just Joe Cowley's thoughts. And I think that is the most important piece here. There is no sourcing in this, right? Hearing that there are rumblings that Billy Donovan could step away is one thing, but there's no sources that are saying, hey, it's more so, like, again, a speculation piece built around some of the things that are going on with that. Now, the thing that he did report, January 2024, there was a report of a fracture in the locker room, right? A disconnect between players that was growing between that and either the front office or the coaching staff. Now, since that fracture in January of 2024, you look at how many of those players have been gone now. People that were on the roster of January of 2024 included Zach LaVine, for example, right? Gone. Now, he's not here anymore, right? Other players, Iodasumu, Kobe White, those guys are gone. They're no longer here. Nikola Vucevic, gone, no longer here. So a flurry of trades since that time in January of 2024, over 2 years, we've almost completely turned around the roster in a way, right? So now you have, you know, Patrick Williams is your longest tenured Bull. That's a concern. You know, Matis Muzelis, Josh Giddey are some of your longest tenured Bulls right behind Patrick Williams, right? So I think that you have to look at that part, right? Now, we did hear that, you know, January 2024, that's where a fracture started in the locker room. I think it's apt to point out that we still saw no trades at that trade deadline. It didn't take until the following year in 2025 that we started seeing trades, right? So take for that for what you will. Joe Calley has reported things before that we didn't see the results of, you know, until years later. Now, that doesn't mean that his source or that his things, it's just take the source with, or take the reporter with a grain of salt, because again, Joe Calley has reported things before that hasn't necessarily come to fruition right away. Now, that doesn't mean, again, that they weren't there, but it's just things. Calley also, in being fair and honest with this, is somebody that clearly does not have any love for AK in the Bulls front office. That's there. I'm not saying that he's wrong to have those feelings, but the thing is that it's there. Right now, Calley has been pretty consistent in his reporting there. It is what it is. You still need to take a grain of salt with it. But let's get the context of it with that said, right? I don't think that Joe Calley's article should be taken as 100 unfallible proof that Billy Donovan could walk away, right? But it does open the discussion of, hey, and we've already heard that, and this came from Casey Johnson, it's come from other people, that Billy Donovan is going to sit down with the Chicago Bulls front office, and he is going to discuss his future and where the direction of the team is going. We already know that that's been in the plans, that's been in the works, that's been something that we've heard for months now. So there's no surprise that that Billy Donovan is going to end up sitting down with AK and other people and make a decision on, or just have an open conversation based off where the Bulls are going. Now, from that conversation, decisions could be made based off that conversation, which could lead to Billy Donovan deciding, hey, this is not a thing. I don't want to participate in a rebuild. I've been more open to where we've gone. We've had six seasons together with no real success, right? Other than one playoff appearance with one playoff win. But other than that, we haven't done anything. Billy Donovan is a Hall of Fame college coach. And for many people, they were surprised that Billy Donovan didn't take the Kentucky job, right? So I think when you look at this, right, if Billy Donovan, now with UNC being open and other college positions, best believe, if Billy Donovan walks away, takes a year off, he's going to have a lot. There are going to be colleges that will fire their head coach to bring Billy Donovan in and give him full reign there, right? So there's just no doubt about it. That's what Billy Donovan has earned with what he's done in college, right? So the bigger question is that I think, and the part of this conversation that we need to have is that, is Billy Donovan and the front office not on the same page? Now, this is not part of Joe Calley's report. This is just Hayes talking to you guys right now. I think that, in fairness, have we seen some of that? The front office clearly has geared more towards prioritizing draft position, right? And many people have asked themselves, hey, why are the Bulls doing what they're doing? You know, we've talked about it where it seems like in games, Billy Donovan gets the call from heads up, like, hey, we're not winning this one, right? Like, so is there a disconnect? Billy Donovan, somebody who wants to develop, coach, that's a different conversation on how successful he can be in that, but he is a guy that wants to win basketball games. He is a guy that wants to develop talent. He is a guy that wants to do that. And so the question now becomes about, you know, after a winless February, right, where the Bulls won nothing in February, no game at all for a month, has it become now, like the Bulls since then, they'll have gone 5-6, which isn't bad, isn't terrible, which, you know, the pro tankers are going to take that and spiral with it. But so is there a disconnect between what KK wants, what Mark Eversley wants, and what Billy Donovan wants? I think for a relationship that for so long has been talked about how collaborative the relationship is between Billy Donovan and AK, if that is truly fractured, and I say if because I don't know, but if that is truly fractured to a degree, I can understand why that could shake the foundation, because so much of what we've heard of why AK and Billy work good together is because of the collaborative part of their relationship, is because of Billy Donovan being bought in, these guys being of one mind on where the Bulls have been going over the last few years. And maybe now you're seeing that. And I'll throw some other examples out there, right? For example, we heard that Billy Donovan was actually a fan of Derek Queen in the draft. Whereas we heard from Casey and other people leading into that, that Bulls front office had no interest in Derrick Queen, right? We heard that, you know, I think this even dates back to the Daylon Terry draft. If I'm not mistaken, we've heard that Billy Donovan was actually favorable towards Walker Kessler in that draft. But they took Daylon Terry, right? Now, again, these are all kind of bits and pieces that we're now piecing together over years. But if you're already a coach that, and I'm not saying that Billy Donovan hasn't had any say in personnel. He absolutely has, right? But if you already, as a coach, have identified players that you want in the draft, and then your front office multiple times has gone a different route with it, and then on top of that, you're not winning. You may not want to go into this reset where you could be bad for a while. Like, all these things are there. Is that fracture legitimate? And I think that we see reasons why it could be. Now, all this could end up being smoke. Billy Donovan and AK could meet at the end of the season. They could be right on the same page as far as what they want to do this offseason. Billy Donovan could stay. The Bulls can get some lottery luck. And then, you know, let's say they do luck up and get to the first overall pick. And then let's say, hey, Billy Donovan's like, hey, AJ DeBonta? Okay, bet. Yeah, I can stay around for that, right? Like, so there's a lot of things, a lot of different factors into this. That's if, you know, decision could be made long before the draft lottery even happens. But, you know, those are things that you have to look at and factor into all of this. And I'll just say, hey, take this all. And again, this is not one of those situations where I'm wanting to attack Joe Cowley. It's not that, right? Like, it is what it is there. But I will say that take it with a grain of salt. We'll watch it. We'll see how it goes. But now it does add a little extra level of complexity as far as looking out with the rest of these games and seeing how they're going for the Chicago Bulls. What is happening here with the way that management is this turning into a thing like it was with Tibbs at the end of his era, where it was the coaching staff and the players against the front office, right? Which led to Tibbs being exiting. So, you know, those are type of things to watch. And I guess now for the rest of the season and going into the offseason, we could start watching that. Again, I if I had to bet on it, I'd still say that Billy Donovan's probably going to be here. But these reports do raise an eyebrow at it. And we'll be watching it and monitoring it closely here. Bulls have 11 games left. So we'll see what happens over these last 11 games. But more so than not, what's important for the Bulls is what happens after those 11 games. And that's going to be the part that's going to be interesting to watch, because between the draft, now the situation that could Mark Eversley, could Billy Donovan, could both of them be on their way out? Is nobody on their way out? What's happening here, right? And this goes on top of, you keep in mind, just a few days ago, David Kaplan also pointed something that there at least started to be talks about changes in the front office. So now when you start putting all this together, it starts painting a sign that maybe there is more going on in that front office than we initially thought. And maybe some people aren't necessarily agreeing with the way that AK wants to do things. And the thing that's concerning about that, if AK is going to jettison everybody off that disagrees with him, it means that we're basically going to have an echo chamber of only one guy's ideas. And that is hugely concerning as well. But let me know what you guys think on all of that down below. I want to get into the next couple of things. Let's talk about the draft, right? I said towards the end of March, we're going to be doing draft coverage very heavily. Around April, for sure, is when I'm going to start on my different scenarios and player projections and those type of things. But I want to talk about two different mock drafts that were done. One that was done by Bleacher Report. Zach Buckley did a mock draft there, and he did a situation in which the Bulls did the mock in the sim, and the Bulls actually landed the number one pick there. And with that, he had the Bulls drafting AJ DeBonta with the number one overall pick, saying this: a better late than never rebuilder leapfrogged a whole heap of lost collectors, giving hope to a fan base that would struggle to summon much without a lottery jackpot. And so we already know what AJ is, right? 6'9", 210 pounds, over 7 foot wingspan, hugely athletic, explosive player as well, has that edge that you like. One of the reasons why I love AJ DeBonta so much is that I truly do think that even at 19 years old, you see things from him that make that point out the fact of why he can be a franchise altering talent. It's not just from his own skill set, but also from the leadership aspect. I can completely see AJ DeBonta turning into a leader on a team. And the Bulls need leadership, right? We need that. We've talked about Colin Sexton coming in, right, and being somebody who brought some leadership right away for a Chicago Bulls team that lacked it. Because, hey, say what you will about Modest Bouzelis. You know, I do think Modest has some leadership qualities, but right now he's working on his game. He's not that. Josh Giddey does bring some of that. We've seen Josh Giddey get frustrated on the court. He brings some of that, but you need that more vocal leader. Josh Giddey is also kind of a more quiet guy. I'm going to go out there and prove it on the basketball court, but you need sometimes that rah-rah guy, right? I love AJ DeBonta. I've said for a while there, He is my number one prospect in this draft. You know, 25 points per game, first in the nation in that, 6.8 rebounds, 3.7 assists, 51% shooting from the field. Now, the three-point shooting is a concern. Only a 33% three-point shooter. The question becomes about A.J. DeBonce is, how much of that three-point shooting can you make legitimate, right? Can you turn him into a low-volume but efficient three-point shooter, I think is what you want to have there. And then maybe you can add the volume later on. 77% free throw shooter, over a steal per game, turnovers. He has three turnovers per game as well. Now, he wouldn't have to do as much as the ball handling would have in a point guard like Josh Giddey, but there's just no doubt that if the Bulls can walk away from this draft with A.J. DeBonce, that means that they've added the type of upper echelon talent that they need. That is something to get excited about. Then you look at adding that to Modest Muzelis, another uber athletic player. Imagine how many people would have to watch their heads on a fast break with Josh Giddey, A.J. DeBonce, Modest Muzelis, right? And now don't even let us get a rim-running lob threat of a center as well. A.J. would be perfect for this team. Perfect for this team. And I love it so much that I think when you look at what Muzelis and A.J. DeBonce can both bring, right? But DeBonce has the upper echelon talent, the skill, the potential, and the star power as well that can absolutely turn this franchise around. You add that to Muzelis and what the potential is there as your wing tandem, your 3-4 tandem, man, I tell you that right now, it'll be huge for the Chicago Bulls. So I wanted to talk about this one first because it gives the Bulls fans some hope, right? And that's really what this is about when it comes down to the NBA draft. You're still looking for hope from a lot of this overall. You're not, we're going to need some luck in the lottery if we're going to come out of it. We're going to need all those type of things. It's things that we've all talked about. We all know that what you're going to need if you want to come out of this draft with some talent that you don't necessarily expect to come out of it with. And if the Bulls do get lucky and go number one overall, I want to hear from you guys on this one. If the Bulls do get lucky in the lottery and do get the number one overall pick, who are you taking? Because I am taking A.J. DeBonce. And I've said that, and I've been pretty consistent about no knock on Darren Peterson, no knock on any of those guys. But A.J. DeBonce would be my guy if the Bulls get the number one overall pick. That's the guy I want to see in a Bulls uniform. That's the guy that I think can change the franchise. That's the guy that I'd be willing to bet hell and high water is going to turn in not just to a star, but potentially a superstar in this draft. Now, I mean, some things, the turnovers are a thing there. He doesn't really block shots. We got Modest for that. You know, if we get the right center, we have that for it. Defensively, he leaves a lot on the table, too. He does give effort defensively. I want to be clear on that. And that's typically what you kind of look at, especially for young 19-year-old players, is how much effort are they giving out there on the basketball court defensively? And then what could that turn into? So I do think that he has the right level of effort defensively, which could lead him into turning into at least a solid defender, right? Look at the way that Anthony Edwards has turned out, right? Shooting and defense were part of his knocks coming into the league, and he's now a perfectly serviceable defender, and he's turned into one of the more efficient three-point shooters in the league, too. So, you know, you got to look at that. Again, I know people are going to say, but Hayes, the Bulls' development isn't the best, and you're right on that one, so take that for what you will as well. But then I want to get into the other article, right? And this is the one that it's more realistic, but this still does shine some light on the importance of this draft. Yesterday's episode, I talked a lot about how this draft isn't just top four. Don't rely just on what the narratives are telling you. This isn't just where only the top four players in this draft can turn into stars, because that's not the reality of it. There are some players in this one that can turn into stars later in the draft, right? But I want to be clear on this one. There's another lottery simmed in this one, and that is the Bulls, you know, still, and they stayed at number 10. I think that's just the way to cover it first, is that getting into this mock, the Chicago Bulls stayed at number 10. As a matter of fact, when the lottery was all done, you know, going into it after the simulator, the Sacramento Kings walked away with the number one overall pick, the Brooklyn Nets number two, the Pacers number three, the Washington Wizards number four, the Jazz five, Dallas Mavericks, Memphis Grizzlies, Atlanta Hawks, Milwaukee Bucks, and the Chicago Bulls there at number 10. And in this mock, the Bulls got Braden Burries out of Arizona in this mock. And so I want to talk about, because this is a realistic option for the Chicago Bulls. And who is Braden as a player, right? He's averaging 16 points per game, 4.8 rebounds, 2.5 assists on almost 49.9% shooting from the field. So 50% shooting, which is really good as a player that can score. If you can get 50, 40, 90, we all know that is kind of the mark of efficiency as a scorer. He's also shooting the ball 39% from three, taking 4 3-pointers per game, and 80% from free throw. So not 50, 40, 90, but he's doing basically 50, 40, 80, which is still really good. 4.8 assists, 2.5 assists, 4.8 rebounds, 1.5 steals, only 1.4 turnovers per game. Braden is a player that I would potentially love here in Chicago. Now, the thing is that he's more of a point guard than a shooting guard, but he's listed as a 2-1, right? A shooting guard slash point guard, 6'4", which is really good. He's 20 years old. The defense that this guy brings, his defensive box plus minus is why I do think that if the Bulls were to draft him, he can play with Josh Giddey. It's because of the defensive aspect. When we've seen some of the best ball from the Chicago Bulls this year, it's been with Trey Jones and Josh Giddey on the court together. I think that Braden Burries can bring a lot of the same things that Trey Jones brings, with more of a scoring edge, still a solid passer, right? And can do those type of things. Some of his NBA comps is like Malcolm Brogdon is a comp for him. Between that and like CJ McCollum, those are the type of comps that you have for a guy like that. I love the kid, right? A good, solid combo guard that I think that he has the size, he has the shoulders. When you look at it, he's really aggressive as well. He can get to the rim without necessarily forcing the issue when you look at that as well. And this is a kid that's just, he's really good and efficient. The efficiency is what I really love about him as well. As he tones his body, I think that you're just going to see the continued steps for him to get there. And he could be a player that, much like Kirk Heinrich had to transform his game to be next to Derrick Rose, I think that Josh Giddey and Braden Burries can work out together. It's going to take them getting it together and being intentional about it. But the flashes of greatness from Burries is there, right? And it's a guy that I really like. I know people talk about Darius Acuff, Kingston Flemings, those type of things. But it being 6'4", 205 pounds, because he does have the legitimate size with it as well. The guy has the right scoring mentality. He can pass, he can do some type of things. And I like that. And I can see this being a fit with Josh Giddey. And that is the part that I think he will allow Josh Giddey to be the primary playmaker, while also Josh Giddey doesn't have to do as much scoring. We've talked about that's kind of when you put Josh Giddey at his best, is when he doesn't have to do a lot of scoring. And he's the perfect defender to go next to Josh Giddey as well in a backcourt. I tell you what, yeah, I would like him to be more like 6'6", right, to be next to Josh Giddey. But with his defensive mentality, I don't hate it. I don't hate it at all, right? So you see kind of like Derek White, CJ McCollum, Malcolm Brogdon, like an algorithm of those three players is who Braden Burries could end up being in the NBA. And it's why I do love him as a prospect for this Chicago Bulls team. But and it's somebody who is realistically there that could be there for the Chicago Bulls. But let me know what you guys think. Got a hope as far as a mock and a sim and the Bulls getting the number one overall pick. And then a more realistic where the Bulls stay at 9 or 10 and walk away with Braden Burries. But let me know what you guys think on all of that down below. But that's it. I want to hear from you guys in the comment section. What do you think about Billy Donovan? Do you think it's a real chance that Billy Donovan can go? And other than getting the number one overall pick or a top four pick, who's the prospect that you think could change the Bulls' direction the most in this draft, realistically, around 9 or 10? Let me know what you guys think on that one down below. Make sure you guys like the video, subscribe to the channel as well. You can follow us at Bulls Central Pod. You send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullcentralpod@gmail.com. And lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. And like I like to end every episode on, stay safe, go Bulls, and always see you ready if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
This episode sponsored by Maximus Tribe. You train, you track, you eat right. But if you're over 40, you've felt it. The results don't match the effort anymore. That's not willpower, it's biology. Hormones drop, metabolism slows, your body stops responding the way it used to. Maximus is the online clinic that reverses your decline with prescription performance medicines, GLP-1s, testosterone, and peptides that reduce belly fat, restore energy, and boost recovery. Over 50,000 high performers have already broken through their plateaus. If you're ready to turn your hard work into measurable results, go to MaximusTribe.com. That's MaximusTribe.com.